Have you ever stopped to consider what an odd character John the Baptist is? I mean, you think about what we know of him. He really was a strange man. Wore clothing made of camel's hair, a leather belt around his waist, went around eating wild bugs. You know, if you were to meet John the Baptist today, pretty much all of us would think he was crazy. We wouldn't know what to do with somebody like this, who was so adamant and in your face and just so completely bucked the system, so far outside of the realm of normal society. And yet people came to him. Repeatedly, people would come back to hear who he is. Even the scribes and Pharisees we hear in today's gospel would come to hear this message. We hear that even King Herod, who John the Baptist was preaching against because he had married his brother's wife, even King Herod, even though he didn't like what he was saying about that, we still know he was curious. And he liked listening to John the Baptist. Why was this man's message so powerful? This message of presumably a crazy man. It's because the force of his words didn't come from him. It came from God, and it came from way beyond John the Baptist himself. Go all the way back 2,000 years to the prophet Isaiah. Or 800 years, 2,000 years to John the Baptist, but even 800 years before him to Isaiah. This prophecy that there would be one who would come to announce the coming of the Messiah, which is who Matthew quotes today. It was of him, that is John the Baptist, that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." See, the nation of Israel knew that the Messiah was coming. They had known it since Isaiah, for 800 years or 1,000 years. But you have to kind of consider the history of the nation of Israel, and really salvation history for that matter. You go back to the very beginning, the fall of man with Adam and Eve, and then the coming of the flood with Noah, and then Moses leading the people Israel out of slavery of Egypt, and then they come to their land finally, and King David establishes a kingship, and they're a sovereign nation. But it didn't take very long after King David for them to be conquered again and again. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and finally the Romans. But for all those years during the occupation of those four different nations that were governing their country, they had this promise in the back of their mind. There will come a Messiah who will set us free. There will come a Messiah who will kick out the foreign invaders, and we will once again be a sovereign nation. That was their understanding of the Messiah. But Isaiah, he nuances that a little bit. And even in our first reading today, he tells us, on that day, as Isaiah is prophesying, on that day when the Messiah comes, on that day it will be great, it will be wonderful. A shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. So the nation of Israel had this in mind. They knew what was coming, and yet, what happened? What happened with the coming of the Messiah? He wasn't even allowed to be born in an inn. He was kicked out to a stable. And they knew what was coming. And if you think we're any better today, guess again. The other day I was watching a series, it's on form.org. It's an Advent series. And there's a group that watches it on Wednesdays. But I was with that group, and the guy in the video was talking about these Principio Italian nativity scenes. Like, you know, in America, we have our nativity scenes that are, you know, Jesus, Mary, Joseph front and center, Mary kneeling, Jesus in the manger, Joseph standing there very protective with a staff. And then you have some sheep and camels and whatnot kind of scattered around, and a few shepherds, maybe an angel and a star, and like on the other side, a ways away, you have the wise men, right? That's our nativity scene. But these Italian Principio nativity scenes are the busiest thing you've ever seen. There are sometimes hundreds of characters. Just, it's a whole village, a whole town, people everywhere. Baking, selling goods, you know, kids running around the street. Everything you can imagine. And you might not even know it's actually a nativity scene, because you can't even see Jesus. It's like trying to find where's Waldo, you know? He's hidden. He's like, you actually have to do some work to figure out where the nativity scene is, where Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are. Because there's so much busyness going on. The point is, the world didn't stop turning 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. Only those who were paying attention heard and knew and came and worshiped. The world doesn't stop turning for us now. The Christmas season goes on and shopping is there and all the other preparations. But Jesus is coming. And it takes a herald like John the Baptist to say, prepare the way of the Lord. He's here. He's coming. Prepare. And that announcement that he made, John the Baptist made 2,000 years ago, still rings and re-echoes and reverberates through history to today. Prepare for the Lord. Don't be fooled with all the other busyness and the other characters. You have to look for Jesus. And what does that mean in our practical day-to-day life? Brothers and sisters, God speaks to us every day, multiple times a day. He's speaking to you now. He spoke to you this morning. He'll speak to you this afternoon. Have you heard that? Have you listened? There are so many ways God speaks to us, and the smallest things, and the greatest saints have learned how to listen in the small whisperings of God. Like St. Teresa of Lisieux and her way of being childlike is finding God in the small ways. So that little prompting of your heart that says, hey, you know what? Maybe I could shut off the TV and read the Bible for 15 minutes. How many times have you had even small inspirations like that? Or when you tell yourself, you know what? My prayer life is not what it should be. I hear that all the time, Father, especially, you know, when my prayer life isn't what it should be. I know I should be praying more. I know I should be paying attention to Mass. I know I should be teaching my kids how to pray. Do something about it. The Messiah is coming. Prepare the way. Last week, Father Yurok gave you the challenge, the Father Yurok challenge of spending 7 minutes a day in prayer every day until Christmas. And so I would like to reemphasize that. 7 minutes a day. It's very doable. And you can make a prayer of petition, of asking for something, a prayer of thanksgiving, telling God thank you for something. Or simply just telling him, Lord, I'm sorry, I don't pray better. Help me to pray better. Lord, make your presence known. Prepare a place for you in my heart. That's what the season of Advent is supposed to be. It's supposed to be an annunciation to make room for God. And not just be when everything else goes away and it's just you and Jesus, but in the middle of the big city, in the middle of everybody else who's doing their own thing. That's where we have to seek God, because the world doesn't stop turning. It's in the middle of life that we have to seek and search for him. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths.